Do it again.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world.
You're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Hey girl, a martini, shaken, not stirred.
Don't try and church it up, son.
You can't handle the truth.
I am big. The picture that got small.
Your first one's on us.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. I'm your host, Mark Rigadonna, and with me as always,
Richie Byrne.
Oh, Richie, it's good to see you. Gotham City, baby.
We got a good show tonight, man.
Oh, we got a great one. First of all, we should open.
In New York should be listening to this one.
Yeah, there's going to be people just sending their avails during the right in this.
And guess what? Their avails are, I'm free.
Everything. I have so much white out on the calendar. It looks like a blizzard hit, but
Coke.
Really fast. I just want to, I think both of us wanted to say a big thank you to all the nurses.
Yes.
Today's a special.
It's Nurse Week.
It's Nurse Week. Appropriate and, week too.
Yes. And we've had some great nurses on the show.
We have had quite a few.
Yeah. And we just don't know where we'd be without you, even before all this crap.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you deserve even more accolades now, but you know, nurses. Dr. Oz always said, nurses are more important than doctors because doctors come in, talk to you, and leave. Nurses stay. True. It's great.
It's so true. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah.
I got a letter here. I got a letter from corporate that we're supposed to play something right before we start our show. Yeah, corporate Drinks, Jokes, and Storytellings. The CEOs sent down a message saying we need to play a video before we get started.
Okay.
I don't know what this is about.
What could it be?
Do you know what it's about?
Is it what I think? Is it a quick one or...
Oh, shameless promotions.
Now here's the deal. Shameless promotions. I know nothing about this. Apparently, Wendy's.
You had no word.
No, I don't
know anything was happening.
St. John, our producer, got a call from Wendy's. You know, Wendy's is having some problems because they do fresh meat, and they're running out of meat. And Wendy said, We need to get our product seen again.
We need something.
Yeah. And I said, Joey, you handle it. I had nothing to do with it. So I don't know what's coming.
We didn't help.
We didn't help.
Nothing to do with it.
But it's a little bit we call shameless promotions. And Wendy's is helping us out with it. So let's run it and see what happens.
It certainly is a big bun.
It's a very big bun.
Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
Some hamburger places give you a lot less beef on a lot of bun.
Where's the beef?
At Soul Joel's, we serve a ham comedian we modestly call the Richie Byrne. And the Richie Byrne is full of beef and bun.
Hey, where's the beef? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You want something better, you're Richie Byrne people. Oh, you see that? You see that?
Wendy's. You let Wendy's have a second, and look what they do.
And they go and they push.
They go and push. Burned out.
Burned out on Vimeo.
Available on Vimeo. The buyer rent. Burned out on Vimeo.
Yeah, you can buy for $9.99, rent for $4.99 on Vimeo. And just, you know, Mark, they embarrassed me, and I just need a minute. I need a minute, Mark. I can't even
just right yeah. Now. Hide your face. it's
By
not
way, Soul Joel Productions. You can buy Richie Byrne shirts for $20. But I don't want to talk about that, Mark.
No, we should not talk about the $20 shirt or that Vimeo. Burned out is live on Vimeo.
On Vimeo.
You can get it with shameless promotions.
All right.
But we should move on.
We got to move on. We got a great guest.
We got a great guest. We should pop this out of the way. What are you drinking, Richie?
I got my scotch, my Johnny Black. I'm
going with Johnny Black. It's always a classic with you. I'm going with a vodka seltzer water.
Nice.
Nice little. It's a plain seltzer. No flavor.
Do you want to do the joke or you want to wait till we get our guest out?
Let's do the joke real quick before we bring him out. So
we're experiencing technical difficulties, our guests. So we're
So a five-year-old is at the zoo. Five-year-old's at the zoo with his mother and father, and they're walking by the elephants. He goes, "Hey, Mom, what's that thing hanging off of the elephant?" And she goes, "Well, that's his trunk." And he goes, "No, no, no, the other thing that's hanging off of the elephant." She goes, "That's his tail." He goes, "No, the other thing that's hanging off the elephant." She goes, "Oh, that's nothing." So she turned, the five-year-old turns to his father and goes, "Dad, what's that hanging off the elephant?" He goes, "It's his trunk." He goes, "No, the other thing." He goes, "That's his tail." He goes, "No, the other thing. Mom said it's nothing." He goes, "Well, your mother is spoiled." Who doesn't love a good dumb joke? Cheers, Richie.
Cheers to you, Mark.
Drinks, jokes, and
I hope we got our first comedy club owner coming on. I hope he doesn't hold that joke against you.
Wow, it's a street joke. I didn't write it.
I'm joking. Let's get him out here. One of my oldest friends in the business, one of the biggest names in the world in comedy. He's out.
He will be coming out just shortly. But
you know what happened, Mark? He saw the opening and he just shut off.
Yeah, no, I can't do this. Ooh. So we got a good show coming tomorrow as well.
We have a great show. It's like we know it.
It's almost as if I could tell you what we would talk about, but we have our good friend Kevin Flynn back on.
Kevin Flynn coming out.
And Kevin is a good friend of our guest for tonight. So I actually became friends with Chris because of Kevin. Hanging out with Kevin and we went out and I knew Chris forever, but we never hung out or talked. And we ended up sitting at Jake's having dinner and just telling funny stories and having exactly what this show is, just enjoying the company of another comic. And I'm telling you, he had stories about his family that had me falling on the floor laughing.
Well, he's a funny guy. You know, he started out as a comic.
Yeah?
Yeah, Chris, right? And we did open mics together. We were friends for years before. But he used to say, I'm gonna own my own club someday. And who knew it was going to be? Because here's how I look at it. It's... What's the mecca of stand-up comedy in the world?
New York City.
New York City. And what's biggest club in New York City?
Gotham.
Gotham Comedy Club. So this guy has the biggest club in the world. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's Caroline's and Gotham are the two clubs that
There's
a beautiful club. Right? Look at that showroom.
Yeah, I want to talk about this too with him. You would think that somebody that impressive would have a better ability
You think he'd have a better taste in Friends than to do our podcast.
No, I meant you'd think he'd be able to get on a computer and not fall off and drop out.
I have a lot of friends overseas, and every single time that we would ever have them come over, they would always say the two clubs they want to work are Caroline's and Gotham. It was always the case. They're the two big clubs that anyone thinks of when they think of New York City.
Yeah. Yeah. I always say Caroline's, Gotham in New York and Soul Joel's in Pennsylvania.
Those are the big two.
The big three.
The big three.
Speaking of the Soul Joel's.
Yes.
Tomorrow night,
we have Richie is getting back out.
Look at this.
Curbside comedy tomorrow at the Rail. Eat, drink, laugh from the safety of your car. The laughter starts at 6 p.m. Please pre-order your food and drinks early. Restroom facilities are available. This is a safe, distant event. You'll laugh your mask right off your face.
There you go. Hi, Darcy. Thank you for tuning in, Darcy.
Hey, Darcy's in the house.
This is kind of weird. I haven't done a show since March 15th.
So I'm wondering, what is it going to be like to try to beat that rust off the doors? Are you going to go over your notes? Are you going to watch old sets?
I don't know. I'm not going to watch old sets. I'm going to sit at some point and just write out some things. I have been I have been taping myself for a while before the pandemic hit. And I have all those tapes, so I might listen back on it because I was trying to write a whole new act. And so it's funny because...
As you should.
I really was in the middle of... Now that I have burned out that you can rent...
Live on Vimeo.
Rent it for $4.99, buy it for $9.99, but I digress.
Why mention it? Why mention that? That it is available on Vimeo, burned out.
Yes. So I said, you know, I don't want to, I got to write a new act. I don't want to walk in, do the same act that people are buying, you know? Yeah. And so I've been writing new stuff and I've been recording, and thank God I've been recording. So even my old stuff is on there because it's who would have thought there'd come a time where you go, I need to think about my old act. I need to think about it. I have not gone more than 10 days in the last 30 years where I wasn't on stage, maybe 11 days. So for almost 2 months is scary.
It's so funny that you're saying about like writing a new act, because now that you have a DVD, you don't want to be. I used to always laugh when I first started and I was like, just started working the road. There would be all these comics that would sell their CD after the show, and they'd be like, did you guys have fun? Do you guys want more? I have a CD available. You can buy it. And it's like, yeah, they just heard all the same shit that's going to be on that CD. Yeah.
See, I don't want that to happen. You know? I mean, I lose my mind when someone comes up and they go, I saw you last year. You really need to write some new shit, man. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm never a fan of when it happens to be, you do a gig and then they want you to come back next year and you're like, no, it's going to be the same act. Let me suggest somebody to you, because I kind of figure, you're going to want a new comic, and I could suggest somebody now that I played the room that will be right for you. And they always want to have you back. They're like, no, we'll have you back. It's like, oh, you're going to hear the same shit.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than when you do a private and they're like, oh, we had you last year. You're like, oh, God, really? Look at Brian Flammer. Richie has a DVD. Where can I get one? Thank you, Brian. I can tell you. Or Mark, why don't you tell?
I can tell you that it is on Vimeo, burned out on Vimeo for sale and rent.
You know who else loved, they saw the burned out and watched it and they had a reaction? Chris Roach.
That's the proper reaction to when you see burned out on Vimeo.
Yes. $3.99 to rent, $9.99 to buy. And you too can look like Chris Roach.
I like at the end, it's like, to the right, to the right.
I know. Now, you know what I love about that? We had him on. He was our guest last night.
Chris Roach. Oh, yeah.
And he was tremendous.
Here's the thing about Chris that most people don't realize how smart he is.
Yeah, I still don't.
The guy's a genius. He writes the most brilliant material. Let's just show a clip from last night on the show with Chris Roach.
See, there's nothing I love more than intelligent humor. And that's all Roach gives you.
I love it. Oh my God, I love it.
It's looking like we're going old school for a while here. You and me, Gary Allen's here. Hey, Gary.
Gary's in the house. His show's at 4 o'clock on Tuesdays, I believe.
When we started this show 2 years ago, when we talked about doing the show, we said, oh, this would be great. You said to me that I should do a storytelling podcast.
Yeah.
And you were like, dude, it'd be great, blah, blah, blah. And then I said, I want to do it with you. And we decided, let's do this.
Then let's make it happen.
And we got Joel involved. And we said, we're going to do this. And the first few shows were like, just you and me, bro. Just you and me. And after about the third show, we're like, we got to get guests.
I'm running out of stories. I have an idea. Why don't we take our audience and we ask them to write in a topic, and a good one, and a point of view, and let's see if we can write a couple new jokes for Richie to do tomorrow.
And if anyone writes coronavirus, I'll kill them.
So if you have a fun idea of maybe some thing, and maybe Richie and I can try to work out a...
Why don't we bring Joel on and explain about tomorrow a little bit?
And then we're going to do that while you guys think. Yeah. Joel, come on out and join us. You handsome bastard.
Joel, you know who says hello?
Who Chris says hello? Chris Roach has... It's the same. Whether I'm talking or it's Chris Roach, it sounds identical.
Unbelievable. Great. I didn't know. When did Chris Roach steal your act? But anyway.
So tomorrow, the show.
Who, you're on a podcast and you need laughter because there's no audience. Joel's the only person who holds back the laughter. If we're at a club, Joel's like, ha, ha, ha. But on the podcast, you say a joke and Joe goes, like, Joel.
I'm the only one that's giving you radio silence to your face.
Yes. So what's up, Pop?
Oh, man.
Oh, look at this.
See you guys later.
How are you?
Fantastic.
We had a little technical difficulty.
Chris Mazzilli, thank you for being here.
Good to see you guys.
You got the phone.
Thanks for having me.
You can hear.
Yeah, you know, I guess you know, a lot of people are streaming stuff in my building. So.
Oh yeah, that'll do it. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get right to the talk, man.
All right, man.
Don't waste time.
I'm ready.
First of all, let's start off with this, Mark. I didn't even tell you this. I kept this from you. May 10th, which is Sunday, Mother's Day, is also the 24th anniversary of Gotham Comedy Club.
Really?
How about that?
Yep.
Crazy stuff. God, congratulations,
man. How cool is that, man?
How about I know Richie 30 years?
No, I don't know how to talk, Mark.
We started out together. Unless he started in 1990. He started doing stand-up 1990. I started doing stand-up 1990.
Yes. I did a few shows before that, but 1990 was around the time I walked into Eagle Tavern.
That's where I started.
My first open mic. On 14th Street, Tim Davis.
Tim Andre Davis. And Eddie Stanley.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. Very good memory.
So, you guys realize that this is like the fourth or fifth person we've had on that immediate starting has a story about Richie and the Eagle Tavern.
Yeah.
So let me tell you another story about Richie. He developed really quickly. Like, I remember like watched him like a year or two in, and I was like, this guy's good. He's got something. He, you know, it's like you were like really likable and just charming on stage and flat out funny early on.
Thank you.
You know,
and you know what? You can go now.
Yes, yeah, sending my chick.
No, when you said that he developed quickly, I thought you meant his breasts because those are those are supple.
Look at
his nickname, Double D Richie.
No, thank you for that, Chris. And I remember you were always running shows around the city.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you a funny story, Mark. You were running shows around the city, and he would always put me on first. No matter, and it used to make me so crazy.
Do you know why?
Because you said I got the energy going, and I was.
That's right. You had great energy, and I could depend on you. I knew you'd do well because we all know if the first act goes up and they tank, it's hard to follow that. You know, right. So it's like you just like listen. Let's face the facts, but there, buddy boy, you're a likable guy.
Thank you.
You know.
Well,
let me clarify that. You were a likable guy back then. What happened now, I don't know.
Well, I met with Madonna.
You were calling it because now he does crowd warm-up. You were calling it early. Yeah. You knew where his power was.
I didn't think of that. That's right, Chris. You made me a warm-up before I knew I was a warm-up.
See that?
Yeah. That's
man's
why.
Man's got instinct.
That's why you went on to become the genius you are in the comedy club business, man. I mean, think about that. Like, and I said this to you once a few years. I went to see Mark, this is a great story. He's doing they're doing the show Live at Gotham on Access TV. But this is when you're on Access TV. And Buddy Fitzpatrick was going to be on. Buddy's one of my oldest friends. We're really
great guy.
Right. So Buddy, I go to support Buddy. I just show up. And who's there? I even think about it. There's Chris. Chris is obviously there. And you were so nice to me, bro. And you said, I go, Chris, congratulations on the show and all. And he goes, you want to do it? And I go, I didn't come here. Like, I wasn't being that dick comic. Or, let me show up, see if I get off. And you're like, I go, listen, man, I'm just really glad how things are going great. And I came to support Buddy. I didn't come here for that. And you go, so what is that, a no? And
so,
like, 3 weeks later, you had me on the show, which I've always been so.
And you killed. You know, it's funny. My brother Steve and I, you know, run the club. He joined me like 15 years ago. And one of the things we talk about all the time is that's like such a nice perk, such a nice thing to be able to do to give to comics, you know, a TV gig. It's a nice thing, you know, and it's fun. I mean, do you guys feel the way I feel? I feel like blessed to be in this business. I love this business.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it kind of sucks now that, you know, when I look, it's the whole world, you know, but it's really fun, you know, and I'll say this about comics really support one another. You know, it's a nice thing to say. There's a nice community here, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it hasn't shown more than in the last year, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, we've been through a lot the last year.
It's been a
hard year.
Yeah, I mean, even before the pandemic. Forget about the pandemic.
We've lost our own people, you know. It's
Our best.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, Angelo.
Look at the picture, Chris. That's me and Angelo at Jake's, which is next door.
That's right.
And
he's like a ray of light, that guy. You know, it's I miss him every day. You know, and he's another guy like.
That's Angelo Odata, by the way, for people who don't know. But Angelo, I'll tell you a story. I did the Richie Burns show that night at your club.
Right.
And we had a party at Jake's afterwards. And Angelo heard he heard that I was doing the show. I hadn't seen him in years. Mm-hmm. And he came by and he came over to the club, to the bar, to hang out with me. And I'm sitting with people who, you know, actors from the show and my director. And we want to talk about the show. And Angelo's just talking old times for like 2 hours. He's talking about the days at the Eagle nights for you. And at one point I turn to a friend of mine, I go, man, I'm sorry, I didn't mean for this to turn in. And my friend goes, are you kidding? I love this. Yeah, and I realize that's what I love about our show now, is that people really love talking about, hearing us talk about the old days.
Oh, yeah. You know? And listen, there were some really great times. And even like now, we're making new great times.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. Absolutely. And I Angelo was just that kind of person, too. He made me feel so good that he just came down. Because he
made everybody feel that way. Let me tell you something. That guy, it's just like always positive. I never saw the guy, even like in his dying days, God bless him, you know, always had a positive upbeat attitude. You know, he was a sweetheart, you know. It was a big loss, you know, and it's like.
Well, you did right by him, man. You, Gotham went above and beyond that with him. I mean, you put his name up on the billboard, the marquee, and then you had that. The night, which I couldn't go, but you had you guys did a memorial.
It was an amazing night, you know. He wanted that, and my brother and I sat down, and we basically sat down with his wife and family and friends, and said, "Look, we want to make this a special night. You know, we're going to do. We're going to roll out the red carpet because he deserved it, and he really did deserve it. You know, that was like his home club. It was like his living room. You know."
Yeah,
and it was magical, you know, and you really felt the love, and you felt him in that room that night.
Well, I heard it was amazing. I wish I could have been there.
He was always one of those guys that, like, when he talked to you, he was talking to you.
Yeah.
You
alone. No, I know.
And he just felt it.
He didn't give a shit about it. Is there somebody more important here? That wasn't. He was just a real guy, you know.
Yeah.
He came in. Yeah. He hung out with you, and dude, that's just the feeling you get in the club. You walk in your club. And you just feel
From the second you open the front door, and the show started. Right. It's part of the show. It's part of the atmosphere. It's
Well, you know, it's funny you talk about the anniversary coming up. You know, it's kind of was the thinking from day one. You know, it's like early on when I was a comic, you know, like, look, we all humped it. We went to these clubs, these, you know, back bar rooms, you know. And like, you know, we were treated pretty poorly, you know. I mean, people didn't care about the comedians most of the time. The clubs didn't, a lot of clubs didn't look great, you know. And, you know, around that time when I was doing stand-up, there was this other kid doing stand-up, this guy, Mike Reisman, a Wall Street guy. And you know, we started talking about opening a club, you know, and what that would be like. So it's so much thought, like, went into the design and what that club was going to be long before it even happened.
Yeah, because I didn't know that. You went to FIT.
I did.
That's, I did. And so you have an eye.
I graduated 1947.
Did you want to get it? Did you always want to get into comedy? Like, how did that happen? I know you were big into sports. Yes. I know you're, you know.
So I'll tell you how that all went down. I went to FIT. I studied menswear design. Well, initially, I wanted to be an attorney. I was going to go to Columbia on a partial soccer scholarship, you know, and then I blew my knees out, and that ended that. So backup school was FIT. So I went and I studied menswear design, 2-year program. I got out, was at my first job, and I hated it because I wasn't doing what I wanted to be doing. I wasn't designing clothes. I was like slinging fabric. And I remember I called my parents and just said, I'm going to quit my job and I want to go to acting school. I want to give acting a shot. I was 20 years old in Manhattan. So I figured out, you know, what do I have to lose? You know, apparently
now's
a lot.
The time.
But
you could lose your parents.
No, my parents were totally cool. They were like, listen, we believe in you. Whatever you want to do, we support you 100%. You know, go for it. You know, and you know, I went to HB Studio, took some classes. You know, I remember one quick story. So like, it was like either my first or second class. So like, when you kind of finish class, you have like a scene night. So my scene night, I happened to do well. And my scene partner's husband was like an established actor. And he goes, hey, you know, you're pretty good. You got good instincts. I'm going to, you know, introduce you to my agent. I was like, really? And he's like, yeah. So I go meet his agent. I'll never forget. Her name was Heather Reynolds. She was an agent at Flick Talent. And Flick was the division of Click Models, that Flick East and West. And their offices were in above Carnegie Hall. And I go there and I had like a made up resume. I hadn't done anything, you know, I had a decent headshot, you know, but just good instincts. And I could BS pretty well. So I go in there, we're having a great conversation. She's like, all right, you know what? She goes, I want to have you come back and meet the other agents. I want you to do 2 contemporary contrasting monologues. I didn't even know what a monologue was, you know, and I was too dumb to ask my acting teacher until like the last minute. Right. So literally, I'm like a day or two out in my parents' house in Long Island, Northport, Long Island, like trying to piece together a monologue. So I did finally ask my teacher what it was. And instead of like saying, can you suggest one for me? Or do you have any ideas? Or can you help me with this? I thought, I'm just going to do it on my own. And I remember like reading like in my parents' house. It was actually when that book, Donnie Brasco, My Life in the Mafia, came out. So I was doing a monologue from that book. You know? Didn't have it memorized. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm going to go in there and wing it. I'm going to win them over. I'm going to go in there and, you know, and talk to them. So I show up for the audition, and they have like a studio, a part of their offices. And I remember like there were chairs out there and there were other guys sitting down. I'm like, what are these guys doing at my audition? You know, like that's how delusional I was, you know? And they were all like studying their lines. I'm like, man, these guys are really taking this really serious now. So she comes, you know, and she's like, Chris, there's one more and then there's you, you know? I said, okay. So they call me in, and it's like, I should have bailed right then and there. They're like, you know, 4 or 5 people sitting down at a table. There's a chair in the middle of the room. And she's like, oh, you know, she introduced me to everybody. And she's like, oh, this is a friend of another Angelo, believe it or not. This is a friend of Angelo's. You know, he saw Chris at HB Studio. And they said, oh, well, Chris, what'd you prepare for us today? I said, oh, I'm doing this one monologue from, you know, Donnie Brasco. The other one, I couldn't even tell you what it was. So they go, do you want to sit or you want to stand? I go, no, I got to stand, you know. And I still at that point, I'm like, well, I don't even know what I was thinking about because I didn't even know what I was going to do, you know. And literally she goes, whenever you're ready. And I swear to God, I started talking and all I could hear was blah, 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 blah. I don't even know what was going on. And at one point, I looked up at their faces and they were like, shocked. Like, what is this guy even doing here? You know,
my stomach just dropped.
Sweat like pouring off my head. And like another time I looked up and I swear to God, it looked like they were 75 feet away from me. Like the room got very, very long and narrow, you know? And like, I kind of stumbled through it and I finished. And this woman, Heather, stands up. She goes, okay. And I go, and now anybody else in their right mind would have said, listen, I'm really sorry. Let me just get the hell out of here. Not me. I'm like, the other monologue's better. The other monologue's better. I didn't even know the other monologue. So she goes, listen, she goes, you're green. And I go, you know what? Let me come back in 2 weeks. She's like, no, you're really green. She goes, you need like 2 years. And I swear to God, like I walked out of Carnegie Hall, walked up to 7th Avenue. Because like I had it all figured out. I'm going to get in a soap opera. I'm going to be buying Corvettes. You know, I wanted to walk in front of a bus on 7th Avenue. And I'll tell you, the one thing it taught me, I never went unprepared for an audition again. Ever.
Right,
it was so embarrassing, you know. And it's like, right. And I didn't even realize what the opportunity was back then, you know. Right. I mean, that guy gave me a gift, and man, did I royally screw it up.
Right.
You know.
But so I think,
Heather Reynolds, if you're out there, I'm sorry I wasted your time.
I think that probably helped you as when you got on the other side, as far as being a comedy club owner and a manager and all to go.
Yeah.
Yep. Know how hard this is, because you're one of the few.
Oh yeah,
you're one of the few club owners 100%. That can actually say, "I actually really got up in front of an audience before." Like these owners who own a club and they get up, it's not the same thing. You actually were out there working in the trenches with guys like me.
True,
hustling.
So you understand.
Yeah, you're right.
You understand the path.
100%.
You know, and I think that's what probably makes you more unique than most of the other owners. And but my point about the FIT is that you, and I think this is brilliant, you made the club part of the show. Every other club, not every other club, but a lot of the clubs you go into, it's kind of dingy. There's seats. There's a bar. But look at that. Look at this.
That's beautiful.
That's class. You know, I mean, that's beauty to me.
And yeah, thanks.
When you're an audience member and you walk in and see that, it changes your perception of what the show's going to be. Just right off the bat. Forget about the fact that you're bringing in Seinfeld and Jim Gaffigan and whoever else, but you could bring in anybody. You walk in a club and it has that look to it, that's going to change everybody's idea of what the show is going
to
be.
And as a performer going into that club compared to the other clubs in the city, I've heard a couple of different comics say that they get ready for their show and they dress like they want to look like a guy who just stumbled on stage and happens to be the funniest guy in the room. But when you play a club like yours, you go, no, I got to stand out. I have to look good. I have to do a good job. And I think it makes the performer have a little more of a better fighting chance.
Probably. Yeah.
I mean, like, look, the kind of goal there is we want to create a haven for comics, you know, like everything that was designed that club was with comedians in mind, you know, the green room and having a shower in there and a bathroom, you know, the stage height, the way the room is lit, you know, having a great staff, you know, and even like you mentioned, like the hallway, when you walk in, it kind of sets a tone for the audience member, like, this place is nice, you know, and the mindset is, I'm going to have a good time. You know, when people walk into a crappy comedy club and the host, you know, is miserable, it's like, what do you think they're thinking when they go in?
They're thinking,
I'm going to have a great time tonight?
Right.
No, they're thinking I'm going to have a lousy time tonight.
Right.
You know, and it makes your job as a comedian harder, you know? So we try to we're on top of like everything, even like as far as the sound quality. Like if I go in the room, I'll have the sound guy come back 10 times if we can't get it right, you know? And it's just, it's kind of the mindset of the whole staff. And I'll tell you, like, God bless my staff. They're awesome. My management team, the floor managers, my servers, my hosts, my bar backs. I mean, we just got a good crew there.
Absolutely. You know? Now, and that's something I want to talk about too. It's not just the ambiance of the club, which, and we'll get back to that, but the people you have working for you, when you walk in, you immediately know this is
taken care of.
Yeah. And you have one guy in particular, we already mentioned, and you walk through the door and you see this guy and you go, oh my God, Jimmy's here. And Jimmy is here. He wanted to come on and say hi to you. So let's bring out Jimmy Cato.
Yeah.
Here he is. Really it was Billy.
Jimmy, have you moved since the last time you were on the show?
What happened?
Have you moved?
You're in the same spot you were
You're
in
the exact same spot.
I just stay here for Dr. Phil and everybody. I just sit right here the whole time. Chris, how you doing,
What's
man?
What's up, Jimbo?
I was saying nobody's made more out of this virus than Jimmy Cano. He's been on every show. He's in Russia.
Yeah, it's been quite a
this
ride.
This guy needs an agent now. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. We can't believe we got him.
Yeah. You're the first one. You had me first. I was still in the hospital. But I got to tell you, let me tell you about this man, Chris Mazzilli, though. He's like a brother to me, man. He's been on it with me. He's checked in constantly. He's been there 10 years, man. I've never been anywhere for 10 years. You know, I figured when I started there, I'll be there a few months, and 10 years later, I'm like, I'm not going anywhere, man. I love being there, man. So, you're just the best guy I've ever worked with.
You know the feeling's mutual, brother. You know, we go way back. You're a good man.
Jimmy, you doing okay?
Yeah, let me tell you, I was worried about you, man.
We all were. You feeling good?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. Actually, I had an appointment with my doctor yesterday, and he was very happy with my result. Man, it was good. I haven't seen him since I was in the hospital. He goes, I probably shouldn't be doing this, but he gave me a big hug. He goes, how you doing? Everything's great. And he tested me. All my numbers were good. He was very happy with my blood pressure and everything else. So I'm on the way. I'm on my mend, man. I'm ready to go back to work, my man.
We all are.
Yeah, you and me both, brother. I love going down to the club. It's like it's hard not being there.
Oh yeah, I think about it all the time.
We all know it's a special place.
When I see some of these people online, I saw Sam Morrell do a little video, and I go, it's nice to see somebody doing stand up again. It was cool, you know. I get to talk to Richie once in a while, so it's fun to see these faces again. But I want to see him in the hallway, hanging out, having a cocktail.
You couldn't be more right. You couldn't be more right, Jimmy. Well, thanks for coming in, man.
It was always good. Chris, I love you, brother. I'll be in touch, man.
It's causing a delay for him. Are you there, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Got it? You're back?
You're going in and out.
Sorry.
Bad connection.
You know what? I think having the fourth thing hurt us. Having Jimmy come in. Can you hear us now?
So you say a little better.
Yeah. I think it's better. I think less is more. You know what else I love in your club are the pictures.
The
photographs.
You guys have the best original photos.
And that was Dan Dion's photographs?
So that's right. And that was like I actually think that nobody captures the essence of comedians better than Dan. He's a very gifted guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I what a career he's had. I mean, he's not that old.
Oh, yeah, it's unbelievable.
20 years at the Fillmore in San Francisco, he worked with Bill Graham.
Yep.
And I didn't even realize, and the photos are just so striking when you walk in, you know, and it's just.
And he's like shot everybody. I mean.
Yeah.
It's really, he's a super talented guy and a super nice guy too.
Yeah. You know, Mark, he did a book that with Paul Provenza.
Oh yeah.
Satiristas. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Paul sent me one after we had Radio Gods.
Now, Chris, let me ask you, are there any, what are you more proud of? Are you more proud of what you've built with the club, or are you more proud when you're
I just heard.
Say what?
I lost half of what you said there.
Okay. Are you?
I lost half.
This may be a dumb question. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Barely.
Ah, we're losing.
Yeah, try again.
Have you had a comic walk into your club who's just new, starting out, and watch them grow?
I heard you say comic and something, watch them grow?
Watching a new comic grow.
Oh, I love that. It's the best.
Yeah. Is that more like it? What does that feel like? You know, when you, you see a guy, you go, oh, my God.
This guy got it.
This guy has got it.
It's an amazing feeling.
What?
You know what? I'm gonna drop off and dial back in and see.
Do that. You know, bud.
I absolutely love what's going on and hate what's going on. I love it because it's such great information and it's so heartfelt. You can feel it.
I know.
And I hate that that it's going on and off. But hey, yes, Teresa or hey, Gal.
But I thought, dude, I have so many questions.
There we go. Hey, he's back.
Can you hear us? We can't hear you. Why don't we just go to his apartment?
Yeah, let's just go.
I think it's like 20 minutes. Oh. Aaron Caruso said, we understand. Just keep going. It's very cool.
That's so awesome. If
you missed our interview with Chris Roach last night, you just saw it now.
Yeah, you got caught up. So I definitely do want to talk to him. Oh, here he comes. There we go. Uh-oh.
You there? This is no.
No.
What a shame. We were having such a good.
I wonder.
He's talking. We can't.
But I do want to talk to him about his Corvette show because I know he's he's so into Corvettes. I love Corvettes.
We didn't talk about the fact, and I want to talk about the fact that the Irishman was shot.
Yeah, we have to get to this. Yeah,
for those who don't know, the movie The Irishman, when they do the scene at the Copacabana with, ironically, Jim Norton playing Bob Rickles.
Yeah, we just talked to Voss about playing.
So was that the movie? And Voss was playing
No, Voss played Lenny Bruce like 15 years ago.
Okay.
But then Norton's playing, Rickles now. It's like all of our legends are playing the legends of the past.
And they shot that. It was supposed to be the Copacabana, but they shot it at Gotham Comedy Club.
Well, let's show the clip. it's you can tell it's Gotham since you pointed it out, but you couldn't tell it was Gotham.
Could Norton should be playing that part?
Oh, I know. Well, they couldn't get Lisa Lampanelli in the bald cap.
when Jimmy said, I haven't been anywhere for 10 years, I was gonna say, not even with Lisa.
That movie was really good. Gotham, the TV show, you did it once or twice?
No, I just did it once.
I did one, and it was thankfully Elaine Boozler asked me to do it.
Yours.
Yeah, she actually asked us to if I could fill in for somebody. So I ended up getting that.
You know what? I'm going to tell you a good story. I did Gotham. Access on Access Live Gotham, Live at Gotham on Access TV on July 3rd, 2015. I remember this. It was July 3rd. It was a Thursday night. So July 4th, so I invited Mike Keegan to come with me. And Jim Brewer, they're talking to him. Okay. Jim Brewer was the host. So Keegan, huge Brewer fan, right? So we're down in the green room. We're downstairs, and Brewer and I are talking. And, everybody, all the comics. And Brewer and Keegan get into, like, a conversation. So this is Keegan's night now. He's
He's on fire. He's
a brewer, you know? So the next day, he goes to Anthony's, Opie and Anthony. Anthony.
Cumia.
He goes to his 4th of July party at his house. He gets an invite. So now he spent, it's like a new comic pretty much. So he's already hung out with Brewer one night. Now he's at Cumia's hanging out with Norton and then he's with he and Bartlett. Rob Bartlett was there. So he's having the, but he gets himself completely hammered and he ends up naked in Cumia's hot tub. And he ends up breaking Cumia's toilet somehow. I don't know what, but he like completely like this, he completely like ruined. And I'm like, dude, you totally went over the edge with this, man.
Give him an ounce of power.
He said at one point he was like passed out on the ground. And Cumia goes over and goes, who brought you here? And he looks up and he's drunk and he goes, Joe Curry. He blamed Joe Curry.
Chris.
All right. I'm sitting right in front of my router now. You guys hear me?
Yep. We can hear you. You're
fine. Can you hear us?
Yeah, yeah. It's not as choppy.
Okay. Because you got to be right on that router, man. So we're talking about the fact that the club was the Copacabana in the Irishman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that was awesome. Was a
neat little thing.
That was so awesome.
Yeah. What was that like?
It was crazy. You know, they found out about us, you know, I think the same locations person was doing the show Crashing. And they reached out and,
it was a great show.
Leanne Weingarten, who handles that stuff for us. She was great. You know?
Yeah. Sure. I love Leanne.
She's fantastic.
Yeah. She's fantastic. And they came in and they took a look at the spot. They liked it. And then that was all like very hush hush. We didn't tell anybody. And they literally worked on the club for like 4 days building out the set. And it was incredible how they transformed the place. And I got to tell you, I remember the original Copa off Park, I mean, off Fifth Avenue. It was amazing, you know? Yeah. It was, and they did a great job. I mean, they kind of really captured the essence and they built like these palm trees and it just, it felt right. It was a cool thing, you know?
Yeah,
really
cool. It looked great. And I mean, who better than Norton to play Don Rickles?
I know. You know, how cool is that? You know?
Yeah. He must have been in his element. He must have loved that.
Oh, now, it was great. You know, and then you had, you know, De Niro there, Scorsese, you know, Pesci, you know, and then Sebastian Maniscalco had his big scene there, which is pretty wild, you know?
It was good stuff. Well, yeah, I mean, you've had so many shows shoot. The Gaffigan shot his series there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. We had
Seinfeld shot Comedian, parts of Comedian was there. Seinfeld. And also the pilot for Curb, Your Enthusiasm.
That's right. Yeah, that would have been the old club. That was.
Right.
That was the old club.
Right. So was Comedian too, right?
Yes, Comedian was at the old
club. Comedian was the old club too.
And Amy Schumer, you said shot there too? Or did she
say again?
Did Schumer shoot anything there or was she just coming in? Amy Schumer.
No, you know, she did some, but she came out of the club, you know, when she started there, but I don't remember filming. I mean, oh no, actually, you know what? She did film stuff that she did her audition for her last comic there.
Really?
Somewhere there for Last Comic Standing. Yeah.
Man. Oh, cool. Very cool.
They should rename Gotham the Star Factory. It's just turning out stars.
And tell us about Live at Gotham. How did that come about?
Well, so Live at Gotham was the second series he did. That was actually the Comedy Central series. The Cuban series was called Gotham Comedy Live.
Right.
A little variation. On
and before that, you did New Joke City, right?
That's right. New Joke City was at the old club. That was with
Robert Klein.
It was called Met Channel. It was in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Robert Klein hosted that show.
Right.
You know, it was that was fun. That was a good little run. We did 56 hours on that. Wow. And then the Cuban thing kind of just fell into her lap. He was looking to do a stand-up series. He had heard about Gotham and reached out to this production company called Killer Bunny here in New York that he had done some stuff with, and said, "Hey, do you know these guys at Gotham?" And they said, "Yeah, we used to," because their offices were right above the old club on 22nd Street. So they called me and said, "Hey, Mark Cuban's looking to do a comedy series." And I said, "Great, you know, I got a great idea. You know, this is how I think it should be." And, you know, my brother and I sat down with him. We kind of hashed out our ideas. And literally, like, we pitched the idea to Cuban on a Thursday. He ordered the pilot on a Friday. We shot it a few weeks later, and then he ordered the series, you know. And it just, it did really well for them. Just literally, we just kept doing more and more and more. And at the end, I ended up doing like 156 one-hour episodes.
Wow.
Which was, wow, was great. It was a lot of fun.
You know, I got to tell you.
It was an amazing run.
A few years ago, when you did Gotham Live on Access, and you guys always had like the celebrities as hosts, which was cool. You know, like Hasselhoff.
Oh, you mean, yeah, we had a lot of celebrities. That's right. That's right. You know,
yeah.
Pam Anderson hosted an episode.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Fran Drescher did. Cheech and Chong. I mean, it was nuts. We had some really cool hosts. You know, Cedric did it.
I'm working at Dr. Oz show, and William Shatner's on the show, and he had hosted for you guys the night before. Is he there? You there, Chris?
Oh. It's
that was again. Sorry.
That's right. So William Shatner had hosted. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're going in and out.
All right.
Oh, it's okay. I can hear you. Try again.
William Shatner had hosted the show the night before, and he was on Dr. Oz show.
That's right.
And we had a problem at the show, right, and we had a whole taping. And Oz turned to Shatner and he said, "Give us a joke that you did last night on the show." And Shatner told one of his jokes.
Oh, that's cool.
And then Oz, I'll tell it without Chris. Then yeah. Oz told a joke, a street joke.
No way.
Yeah. And then Oz looked at me and I told a joke. And it went back to Shatner. He told another joke. Oz told a joke. Then I told a joke. By the third time around, I said, "When I woke up this morning, if you had told me that I'd be in a joke off with Dr. Oz and Captain Kirk, I would have told you you're out of your fucking mind."
So,
all right,
you missed the great
back.
What a story! A great story.
I'm sure it was fantastic.
So, Richie, what was your favorite joke out of that? Out of the quad trio telling the jokes.
Probably just saying that I was telling jokes with Dr. Oz and Captain Kirk was, you know, the best part.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So
he was a super nice guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's on Oz all the time. They're close friends. So I kind of got to know him a little bit. Now, talk a little bit about another buddy of ours from this show who we adored, who we lost a few weeks ago. And I know you very close to Vic Henley.
Yeah, Vic was a great guy, you know. I loved him dearly. You know, I'll tell you how I met Vic. So he was like, and most people don't know, he was the last VH1 VJ. He was the last one, and he was living in LA. And he came back to New York. He was like, you know, he wants to go to his clubs, his normal stomping ground. So he went to stand up New York first, and there was a new manager there, didn't know who he was. And the guy basically said to Vic, "Look, you got to come back and audition." And he was like, "What?" He's like, "I can't, you know." So he said he left there and he went to the Strip, you know. And the Strip was closed. The show was canceled that night, you know. So somebody said to him, "Oh, you should go check out this new club, Gotham downtown, you know." So he's like, "Oh, this is going to suck. I'm going to go down there. They're not going to know who I am. I have to audition for them too." So he said, you know, he walked into Gotham and I was standing up in front of the club. And I said, "Hey," I said, "you're Vic Henley." I said, "Do you want to work here?" And he goes, "Yeah, you know," so that's how we became friends, and we've friends ever since. You know, another good guy, and you know, it's funny the similarities between him and Angelo. They were two hosts in the city. You know, really good MCs.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're right.
Dying. Vic was another one that when he talked to you, you thought like I was the only one that mattered in the conversation. He wasn't ever asking for anything. He was genuine. And a lot of people aren't like that.
Oh, he's super, super nice guy.
Yeah. I'll tell you a story.
So let me make a suggestion. Since we had difficulties tonight, why don't we reschedule part two of this?
Let's do it.
Because it drives me insane that I can't hear you guys that good.
We would love that.
Can we do that?
We would love that.
Please, we'd love to have you on as soon as possible.
People are writing all over. This is so great. Wait for them to. So people really want to hear what you have to say, and we have so much more we can talk about. So why don't we just reschedule?
All right, there's plenty more stories to tell. We'll do it again.
You know what?
Thank you so much, Chris.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
You guys are the best. All right. Let's just wrap here.
Thanks so much. We'll do it again.
Cheers.
We'll have you on soon. Folks, that was Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Last call. Thanks for listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.